Well, we just read some difficult passages after a difficult week. It is always heavy business to ponder the judgments of God on the unrighteousness, on the unrighteous. But it is especially hard to think about such things in the wake of immense tragedy, like what happened this past week in Las Vegas. 59 dead and over 500 wounded. Just tragic. Now, many Christian preachers like to jump on the bandwagon of blaming the victims for their own demise. But I think that it is important to take time to advise against such thoughts. Though Vegas is known as the Sin City, there's nothing particularly heinous or sinful about going to a country music concert. Other Christian speakers with bigger audiences than me have said that they believe the shooting occurred because of the increasing sinfulness of our nation, saying that it is all of our faults that the pain, suffering, and death visited upon the victims was kind of our collective responsibility. Now, some have said that the grief we collectively experience after tragedies like this is our own fault, because we as a nation need to repent of our sins. However, these guys miss the point that our nation has always been sinful. The United States has always been full of sinners because we are just like every other country whose citizens mess things up on a daily basis. Yet, while we do need to live in a constant state of repentance, we have needed to repent in the past just as we will need to repent in the future. We are just as bad of sinners as those who have gone before us. I'm sure things will not be much different for our descendants. God was not acting to punish people from the Mandalay Bay Hotel. This was not the work of God at all, but the evil that flows from the devil. Instead, I hope that we can take solace in our reading from Isaiah for today. See that God too sat back and wondered, where did this all go wrong? In the passage, God sings a love song for his beloved about a vineyard. There seems to be some divine irony or sarcasm in calling this a song, because the love song turns into more of a court case than a ballad. But in this song, the Lord speaks through the prophet about a vineyard and the beloved who weeded, cleared, planted it with the best vines, provided for its protection with a watchtower in the middle, and made a vat to prepare for a lush harvest. Yet for all the care taken by the vineyard owner to make sure that the harvest was full of the best grapes, the fruit that the vines yielded were wild and bad. The extreme care taken by the vineyard owner would make one expect that there was no way that the harvest would be rotten. No way. But that is what happened anyway. The passage goes on to compare the house of Israel to the vineyard, a people whom God delivered from slavery, provided for throughout 40 years of wandering in the desert, established them in the land, and delivered them from many, many enemies. For all the good things that the Lord did for the house of Israel, the people turned away from the Lord to commit countless injustices and fall into unrighteousness. And verse 7 from our passage sums it all up. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. God joins us in questioning. How did it come to this? Where does this extreme evil come from? It is almost beyond imagining. Though we know that we are sinners and the world is broken and all that, some evils are almost too great to imagine. In the wake of the Sandy Hook shooting, I remember thinking, how can somebody kill children like that? Who shoots up an elementary school? After the Columbine shooting in 1998, I remember hearing a recording of someone saying, I don't understand this. He was not alone. In these moments, we side with the vineyard owner who looks at the wild grapes, wondering what more he could have done to make these bad fruits turn out good. All of the shooters from these and many more mass shootings in the past few decades were made in the image of God, just like you and me. They were formed in the care of the Creator. The Son of God died to save them, just as He died to save you and me. The goodness that went into them was formed in all of us. And yet, we mourn once again that the goodness which God formed in humanity long ago has once again resulted in extreme acts of evil. Where did these wild, bad grapes come from? How do architects of genocidal acts like the Holocaust go from being people living in a relatively normal world to innovators of evil on an immense scale? How do terrorists come to think that their messaging is best communicated in the blood of innocents? How do mass shooters go from target practice at the gun range to murdering as many people as they can? How do we as Christians think about the overwhelming evil that rears its ugly head during weeks like this one? How do choice vines end up producing such wild grapes? And many people like to blame the circumstances behind these tragic evils to make sense of the nonsensical. Many think that the parents should have raised them better. The school should have seen the signs. Family members should have intervened, or that people who commit such tragic acts were never really human at all. Now, while these backstories to such overwhelming violence are worth paying attention to curb similar evil tendencies in our neighbors, the truth is that there are millions of people who share similar backstories to the mass murderers who make the news. But these millions never do, because they never go to such extremes. There are no easy answers or explanations for weeks like this one. But while the source and reasons for these tragedies may elude us, God's answer to extreme evil is clear. From our passage, we know that God does not sit idly by and let evil flourish. Evil must be contained. In the story of the vineyard, we see that God promises to let evil consume itself. The hedge around the wild grapes would be removed, allowing the place of evil to be trampled and conquered. God did not let the tragic, murderous intents of the ancients go on indefinitely. Nor will God let evil win in our own time. God judges between good and evil, and that judgment will not be idle now. But ultimately, God overcomes the forces of violence and evil in this world through the cross of Jesus Christ. Goodness is stronger than evil because God Himself descended from heaven so that He might take on our mortality, die with us, confront the devil in hell, and rise again, bringing us with Him. God, in the end, responds to violence by ridding it from all life for all time. Evil may win the day, but it will always lose tomorrow. God has gone from the heights of heaven to the depths of hell to make sure that death and destruction can never win in the end. In terrible weeks like this one, when forces of violence and death overwhelm the world around us, may the light of Christ, the light of life, shine in our world even brighter. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.